Hey, what is going on, Los Angeles? It's J.T.Dot, and I hope that you are so well. Today is July 28th, 2023, and that means it's finally time for the second installment of JT, the LA Storyteller, with the VVs. And so on this episode, I am joined by Fuego, as well as Forbes and Don C., and we talk about all things in the Virgil Village and East Hollywood, including the Family Arcade, including backgrounds of our fams, including Mac P Dog just as well. And it's just one of those discussions that I'm really so grateful to have taken part in. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I certainly did. You already know that until the next time, you stay vigilant and you stay tuned, because it's J.T. Dot out with more soon. P.S. If you want to see and hear more, you can actually go to patreon.com/JimboTimes and find just that, including a whole bonus session slash episode prior to this official second episode. So it's up to you. The ball's in your court. It's J.T. Dot. It's Jimbo Times. Or should I just run and get that mic, man? What do y'all think?
Have you exercised today?
I'm saving my exercise for after this session, actually.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna go hoop a little bit.
Yeah, we could do this.
We could do this, man. We gotta. Yeah.
And I still gotta go home and pack. I'm moving right now too.
Oh, so is that right?
That's literally what I was doing right now at the crib. I was packing all my shit up, ready to bounce.
Where are you moving to, man?
The Valley.
Oh, that's where a lot of people been.
Valley, yeah. Man,
that's where a lot of people been lately.
It's just the Valley, huh?
San Fernando Valley.
Yeah. SFV. Man, all I know is the temperature rises like crazy up in the SFV.
I should be like 105, bro.
It was like 98, something like that, bro. Over here, it was like 85 or something, bro. That shit was
a big fact.
Make sure you got your AC ready, bro.
Yeah, the crib got the little thermostat.
Oh, the central
AC.
Yeah,
the
central AC, yeah.
In the nighttime, that shit gets hot as cold as fuck.
Yeah, that's right. Turn off. It's on
the little blanket. That's the Valley, man. That's the Valley for you. Like,
yeah, it's crazy though, yeah. Because speaking about traffic, when we were going over there,
whack.
Fuck, oh, mad traffic getting out of here. As soon as we get out of there, bro, cruising, bro. Same way back. We coming back as soon as we hit a certain area, bro. That's all the fucking traffic. That's just stupid.
It's funny too, because the Valley's got its own perks and everything. But one thing that really strikes me about it is like the one or two lanes that you get. Like, everything, like, if you go up, once you get off that 101 and you go on a Lancashire or whatever, you got, like, Cahuenga.
Damn, honestly, it's my first time being out there, bro. I
love that.
Nothing about the Valley.
Well, these are, like, tight streets.
I know a little bit about the Valley.
These are tight and also lengthy streets, though. Like, the traffic, street-wise, is pretty wild over there, man, from what I know.
I hope not.
Like, right. once you get off of that 405 or, like, the 101.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's time to just, like, go home. Man, you're going to see an army of.
Yeah, everybody takes the 101. Cause don't the tell 405
me that,
is
don't tell me that.
Don't tell me that.
I'm going the 405 later.
Actually, that's kind of an interesting question for a moment. When did y'all first learn how to drive?
When I bought my first car,
That's pretty good, man.
Had to go all the way to Corona, and I picked it up. Never drove a car before, and I had to drive that shit back, bro. That shit was crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, I'll drive, bro. Yeah,
I'll pass my test right now.
Only time I drove 10 and 2, bro, trying to get that.
That's real good, man. Corona, wait, how far is that?
That's like about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, probably.
Okay.
I might be lying, maybe less.
It's probably like 60 miles, 50 miles.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good drive for your first drive.
That was a crazy experience.
What about y'all?
You got
to get that mic, bro. You got to lean into that, man.
The first time I drove, I think my uncle let me park the car. I was like 10 years old.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But I've always liked racing games, so I always like, I don't know, I feel like I picked up driving quick because like, I felt like I was playing Need for Speed or like GTA.
Amazing.
Man, that's something actually. That's something. Bro.
No, I wasn't that young when I learned how to drive. I think I was around like 14, 13.
That's pretty good, man.
My dad would just like take me in the van and just drive around the block.
Just around the block, right?
Yeah, that's my brother.
That's
pretty
good. That's pretty good.
Like that, like, with my experiences, bro, we'd be driving in the field with my possum. I don't know what the fuck this guy would start doing, bro, but he just tell me, grab the wheel. Bro.
Oh, so right.
The fucking floor, bro. I'm holding on to the wheel trying to steer this thing, bro. I think it's crazy.
Yeah. Our lives are in
your
hands.
It's funny, man.
Good times.
It's funny because the way I see it, like, everybody learns it a little differently, but if I was teaching somebody today, I'd say, like, the most important part is actually knowing how to stop the car.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, how to put that brake on and everything. Like, because you can go. That's easy. And you can even go fast. That's cool. But you got to know how to brake and not hit something or hit someone. That's... And it's a little counterintuitive because you're like, if I'm driving a car, I'm trying to like go places. Yeah, you're trying to go places, but you're trying to get there in a slightly orderly manner.
Yeah.
100% one piece.
Trying to get there in an ambulance.
It's funny too because you all mentioned GTA, and I definitely messed with a lot of GTA way before I learned how to actually drive a real car. So, but that's GTA, not a racing game per se, not like Gran Turismo or.
Yeah, I was never good
speed,
at those,
like you were saying.
Those racing games, bro. I was never
Need for Speed Burnout, bro. That shit was fun, bro.
Underground and Midnight Club. That's where it's at.
On the GameCube.
Yeah, I played Lord of the Rings on GameCube, honestly.
Man, that's a classic. I don't think, man. I haven't heard GameCube in a long time.
We got Super Smash Melee, bro.
That's what people know GameCube's for. That's what people know Nintendo's for.
You really been on that shit, huh? Vintage gaming shit? That shit dope.
You know what you could do for that mic, too? You could probably just keep it in the middle, and that way you don't have to do too much turning.
It'll pick up, though.
Yeah. Like, if you just go, like that. Perfect. Because you can always see.
Would it really pick up? Yeah, I mean, kind of.
It picks up just enough.
Yeah, I got to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, just try to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, probably just kind of talk loud and shit.
Yeah, you got to project, fam.
The block.
It's funny, too, because when you mentioned some of these games, I'm wondering if y'all ever spent any time at that family arcade on Vermont.
Oh, bro.
Anytime, bro.
Yeah, right after. Anytime, hit the little
right?
Caesars
like,
for a $5 pizza, bro.
Like, endless fucking memories is there, bro.
Bro, that us.
Man, that little arcade's been there since the 70s and whatnot, from what I understand.
Bro. Yeah, that little
that's
one.
That's another staple of, game, like, bro? Virgil Village.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, Vermont, you know.
The front of it is, like, so dope that no matter how much time passes...
Family arcade.
Everything around it still stands out.
For
like
real.
It was brand new.
Was it Kid Cudi recorded a music video in there?
Yeah.
Heard
day
about
and
that,
night.
Yeah.
Day and night.
All through
he
the neighborhood.
Right there by Virgil
Village. Yeah, with the parrot.
Yeah,
yeah,
bro.
With
there
the parrot
be the smog cutter.
Y'all know what's up.
The smog cutter, bro. That shit's
crazy. Yeah, y'all know what's up because I don't think a lot of people are aware that Cudi filmed right there in the neighborhood like that.
Yeah, that's what goes into the homie's haircut.
Hey,
that's where the roots come
from.
All right, bro.
100%. Oh, so y'all do know that little spot very well then.
Yeah.
On the street.
That's dope, honestly.
I took my brothers a couple times before they moved, but I think it went up in price, but it was like $20.
Oh, boy.
It's 4 all day, so you could leave. You don't have to pay for the games. You go eat or get drinks.
Oh, deadass?
Or come after like the bar or something because it's open till like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just made that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they just made that adjustment. Because that's like a pandemic era adjustment,
that's
I think.
Yeah, they got out the gutter, I think.
I thought it was you pay $20, you do whatever, you bounce, and you can't come back and shit.
Nah, I think it was that for like a moment, and then they switched it up and said.
You don't take it off, you come back. Like, oh, shit. Sure. Morning, you come back in the night with your lady or something.
Right.
Pizza or the fucking Boyo Loco right there, bro.
It's open all day.
You want to see the family meal, bro?
Your homies after you guys go.
Man, it's so interesting because I met a UPS driver or an Amazon driver way back, and he told me, yeah, man, I know this neighborhood. I used to hang out at that family arcade all the time before it closed down. And then I said, actually, it didn't close down. Or so, if it did, it closed down for like a very slight moment,
bro.
And it came back up. And he said, what?
The guy got remodeled,
I was honestly, oh, did it really?
Yeah.
I haven't been inside.
I think they, like, took out some machines, and they kind of made the
Because a bunch of that machinery, bro, it was from like the 70s, like, hey, you said, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's actually another part.
Vintage style gaming.
Yeah, Marvel. Like,
bro.
I like watching all the
Marvel.
Yeah,
man, bro.
Marvel versus Capcom.
That's
they
right.
Had Mortal Kombat.
That's
they
right.
They had like a WWF.
Yeah, Pac-Man for OG Pac-Man yeah, right there.
Bro. Well, see, that's what I'm wondering about. Yeah. Like, if it's from the 70s, then what kind of video games did they even have in the 70s, man?
Well, they
like,
had
pinball machines.
Gallagher.
They had
Gallagher.
That whole storage right
pinball
next
machines,
to it.
Like pinball you said. The basketball.
Yeah.
Man, that was pre Michael Jordan too. That's like a.
What about
air hockey?
I fuck with the air hockey.
Too.
Yeah, the air hockey, foosball.
That's
oh.
probably what they had in there. Dance Dance Revolution.
I was in there busting
up. Okay.
Now I think they got like Mario Kart too in there.
They got Guitar Hero with the guitar and shit, man.
See, I'd like to go in there at some point and ask them for the archives and see photos of what that family arcade looked like over the decades.
Because like,
at this
yeah,
point,
that's
like
crazy.
5 decades if
that's
it's
like
from
the
70s.
Landmark, you know, like
yeah.
for our community.
Yeah.
Yeah, hiking.
No, it's interesting, too, because right along that strip where they used to have the billiards and where they used to have
bro, yeah.
different
bro,
cafes.
There's gonna be a panda, bro. What the fuck?
Yeah, the pandas. The
panda's
coming
in.
There's
gonna be a panda, bro.
Panda's coming in.
The cafe wasn't even there that long, I think.
It wasn't,
no. When we were, like, in high
yeah.
school.
It wasn't.
High school.
Well, that
was
spot
crazy.
Was always a little bit of everything right there.
Yeah.
That's that particular spot where the cafe was at.
I think
but
that was crazy for, like, the community, because, you know, the community is mainly, like, Hispanic people.
Yeah.
So the thing that was crazy is when the Swami closed down.
Swami, bro.
That's right.
You know, like, they'll
right.
go there to get shoes to go back to school, shirts.
Pro clubs.
There
pro
was
clubs.
A barbershop in there. They would sell pets in there.
Everything.
Levi's.
There was Mr. Kim's in there.
Stores.
Mr. Kim with the video games.
The video games. We'll go there for like cheap
yeah.
cleats,
yeah.
Know, like
you could go in there to get your keys remade.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
that
some Chinese food too.
One stop shop.
One stop
right.
shop.
That's right.
I even had a tattoo shop in there.
Yeah,
I had my first tattoo right there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Tattoo of what?
I got this Scarface tattoo.
Man, that's a serious investment right there. I mean, what did that run you at that point?
$100.
$100
for a bill.
That's a clean. That's a clean discount right there, man. $100 for a Scarface tattoo. How long did it take?
I think like 3 hours.
$100. What year was that?
I think it was like 2016.
Man, that's a real yeah. throwback. I mean, actually, $100 was a little more difficult to come by
but around that
2016,
time,
too.
But around that time, I think haircuts were like $15. They're like $35,
bro,
$40.
Yeah, they are.
I remember it went up from like $10 to like $12, then $13, then $15, and then I know it, $20 haircut.
That's right. The haircut is an issue now, my dude. Yeah. The haircut is a serious
yeah,
issue, man.
It's essential.
Business,
though, you know?
Bro.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a business,
like a business
though, bro.
That's never going to die.
That's like eyelash extensions, wigs.
It's true. It's just interesting
so
to me
like
that,
like,
man,
we don't put on no makeup,
yeah.
you know, we just get a haircut.
Yeah.
That's all I need,
bro. Shirt.
But there are so
yeah.
many different kinds of, like, barber shops, and that also strikes me a little bit because now you have more options than ever for a barber shop, so I feel like it's also getting kind of difficult to stand out.
Because before, barber probably wasn't, like, a passion for a lot of people, and then now there's a lot of barbers. I remember when I was little.
Now our generation's coming
when
into
I was little,
it.
There wasn't that many barbers, like, in the neighborhood that would, like,
that
actually fade you up and stuff like that. And I remember, like, when I went out east to visit my family, they have a gang of, like, Dominican barbers.
Yeah.
East where?
Yeah, like, I think it was in Queens.
Wow.
Yeah. Over there, like, I don't know, everybody's
yeah,
face looks so fresh. It looks
there.
Like it's, like, airbrushed.
It's so wild, man, because when I was first listening to Queens getting repped by Nas and Mobb Deep and some of these other cats, I didn't really know that. That Latino people were out there like that.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
like Cuban
so
people.
Oh, interesting,
yeah.
man.
That's crazy.
It's a whole mix, bro.
Yeah.
There's like South American people, Central
right.
American people. There's a lot of Honduran people out there.
Hondureños are like for sure known out there.
Just like here, honestly.
Like,
yeah.
The way the map looks is not the actual layout, like of how close everything is to each other, you know?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, it's cool not needing a car to go
it's
everywhere.
Flat.
Yeah.
Like out here. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, yeah, New York trips me out, bro. Like, the east side over there, bro, trips me out. How it's all, like, coordinated and, like, laid out, bro.
Yeah,
That's right. That's right. Just the way that you could get any kind of food at any hour, the way the clubs don't close down until way up in the morning.
It's dope. It's probably like a GTA map. Because you know where, like, you know where all, like, the Wall Street's at. You know where all the entertainment
I mean, a lot of us met it through GTA 3. Yeah. When GTA 3 first came out, bro.
Honestly.
With the Italian, with the Salvatore family or whatever.
The same thing with Vice City. Vice City was golden.
Right. Yeah.
Vice City.
Actually, yeah. What's your favorite GTA? If you have to choose one. So
San
I'm here. I'm here with Fuego, Forbes, as well as Don C. We're talking GTA. Yes, we're talking NYC. We're talking LA and Virgil Village. But for a moment, we're going to pause and ask about the best GTA for each one of these cats. What's the best GTA for you, Don C?
I'm going to say it's between San Andreas and GTA 4.
I think that's pretty good. That's a good combo.
Four was solid, bro.
Four was
solid.
Nice, bro. Yeah, bro. Four was nice, bro.
Nah, I think either San Andreas or Vice City.
Yeah. I'm with that, too.
Vice City
was fierce, man.
Imagine playing that game now.
Vice City was just a vibe. Next-gen graphics. That shit was dope.
There's a lot of games that was ahead of its time, honestly.
Imagine, but the storylines to those games are really good.
That's exactly right.
With, like, today's graphics.
See, that's the interesting part for me, too. Like, I think we played these games, and for us, it was just before everything went online as hard as it did. So you would still cop one of these games to play that storyline mode and to finish that storyline. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one game where I only get to port a story.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So now that you could play online with other people, but, you know, that's mainly what we would play games for. That's how we like games like Pro Skater, you know, like Spyro and stuff
that's
like
right.
that.
Spyro. Shout out to Halo as well. Oh, Halo was ill, man.
I remember all my friends had Xbox, like majority of my friends when I got to middle school.
Xbox, yeah.
So I ended up getting an Xbox just to play Halo because my closest homie, he was always playing Halo. Like, I would go to his house, we were going to go out or something, he'd get ready, I'd be playing Halo.
Halo 2, bro, that one was...
All you had to do was take the controller from yours over to your homies.
Yeah, and link it.
And then two, three, four players at a time.
Halo 2 was golden. Halo Reach was cool too. I remember, every time I go to one of my friends' house, they're playing Halo Reach.
Nah, Halo 2 was my shit.
But there was like my homie Too Big, like Calvin, fucking Tenno, everybody was Marvin, RIP Marvin, they were always playing Halo.
That's so interesting, man. Shout out to all the gamers in the neighborhood. Shout out to everybody who still has the bandwidth for that.
A lot of my homies still make time for, like, you know, like to either play video games or work out. Something out of a hobby.
Right.
I ain't gonna lie, I still play a couple video games.
Yeah, I should clear my mind.
Dude. Okay, which console do you got?
PS4.
Okay.
It's time to upgrade though, PS5 though, honestly.
On PS5. Yeah. Hey, you know how
everybody says like that, like weed is bad. Like I just be in the room rolling a blunt and then I just start smoking and I'm playing video games. And before I know it, I think I like a hook idea or like a punchline and then I write it down. And then I'll get off that, and I'll just go in the other room and, like, try to record it and see how it sounds. But that's, like he said, that's how we clear our head.
Man, that's so interesting, too, because I think a little bit about the competitive nature of games, especially,
that
like...
That shit gets me heated, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
that shit gets me hot.
And, like, why, man, like, why men play it,
shit.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I get on there, and I'm like, wow, I'm just trying to chill, and you want to talk
You
shit,
find a lot of racism over over games.
I mean, you're going to find it. Well, yeah. I mean, in the midst of competition and this online world where you're anonymous...
Kids, little kids, when they rage, they start saying...
Ain't no lie, but that's just fun, though, bro. That's just funny.
Nah, because to this day, like, I mean, and it can be any game. Losing is losing. Nobody likes to lose.
Call of Duty, bro.
Call of Duty, man.
That's true.
You gotta leave your feelings in the other room, bro, if you gotta hop on.
Man, but you gotta learn how to do that, too, because when you first start playing...
We learn from older siblings, older cousins, you know? So it's like, I'm gonna beat your ass and I'm gonna laugh.
And we grew up in different lobbies, too,
He gonna fight me, but I'm still gonna beat you up.
Man, that's so interesting to me, my dude.
We learned the hard way, you know? Like, we learned outside falling, scraping our knees, you know?
See, well, that's what's crucial, too. You got to mix it up, and it can't be strictly, at least for me, it can't be strictly video gaming. Like, you got to step outside. You got to get on your skateboard or your skates. You got to go out and see your people.
But I'm glad I was raised like that, honestly.
Like, some people like drawing. Some people like cooking. Some people like lifting weights. Some people like making music.
I like playing soccer as a kid, bro. Yeah. I'm very glad I grew up like playing outside and like in the dirt and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. That's so crucial for you. I was telling you last time I felt like, we're, like
used to buy Hot Wheels and make a track in the dirt, bro. And, like,
that's right, because you gotta like know what that skill is like.
60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah.
Like, the 90s were like the last original trends were like from that time. Man. What do they do now? They buy vintage clothes. They tie dye.
Shit, bro, I was running around jumping roof to roof and shit like that. So, like, that's just different.
Right. Right, right. And it was just a little safer, I think, by the time that we were coming up, too.
I feel like the community was more together.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think a part of the community coming together was the fact that things got so bad during the early 90s.
Yeah.
So people said, we can't allow it to get that heated anymore. We got to come together. The kids got to grow up a little better. And that's the generation that we happen to be a part of. We happen to be those kids who came up after all the major noise. On the streets
like,
of LA.
Like, let's say, like us, like 90s babies, we're still succeeding, still failing, still trying, still growing. But, I mean, we have the perfect guidance because I feel like the three generations that came before us, you know, like they laid down the right seeds.
Man, we were talking a little bit about that, and you got a very special part with the generations too, Fuego. So I wanna ask you for a moment a little bit about that. I mean, you have people right here in LA. And not just in LA, but right in this neighborhood, who know this community, who've been through different parts of what we call the Virgil Village today. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about when it started. Who came first, if you will, and where does it go from there? Because you got a deep history in VV, if you will.
Yeah, my grandma came, I think in the 80s or 70s. Yeah. Yeah, because my mom was little when my grandma came over. Yeah, I think she came like around 75, 76. Wow. With my grandpa, yeah.
Right to Virgil Village.
Yeah, they landed in the Virgil Village.
And this is where she decided to stay, too.
Yeah, they had like different... The only reason that right now she lives outside of the Virgil Village is because she'll travel back and forth to like Honduras so much. So like she like gave up the apartments. She was over there for like a year, you know, or like months. But she still lives close by. She lives right there by Rudy's dry cleaners.
Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. Definitely.
Yo, shout out to Rudy's Jack him, bro. Honestly, like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's one of their old family, businesses that still stands.
They're family, bro.
I love that, man. I love especially seeing when these abuelitos or these abuelitas, these immigrants from way out there, from everywhere, Latin America, but also Europe, parts of Asia, and so on. Like, they're still out here doing it in their 70s, sometimes in their 80s, and it's wild, man. But they love what they do. They do it every day and they don't let it go.
A lot of the businesses that were around here that recently closed down too, they were like passed down from like, you know, grandparents,
generations,
to
bro.
Kids and then you
what
know,
was that that one Chinese kids. Spot right there on Virgil Village? The
Golden Hand.
Yeah, Golden Hand, bro. Yeah. That shit just closed down and now it's in like a cafe or something like that, bro. Like, what the fuck? Like,
right.
I'm playing.
Yeah, we got a lot of wine shops now. A lot
it's
of
crazy.
Wine shops.
Yeah, bro.
Wine shops,
on
honestly.
Hoover, where it used to
oh,
be,
yeah, by the park,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
I used to get my pom-poms back there back in the day, bro. Nobody wanted to sell me those
shit. Oh, you mean off of Hoover Street?
Yeah.
And that was like a little wine spot.
Bro. Yeah,
it's just
yeah,
crazy,
yeah.
Bro.
There was this spot. I mean, I used to eat pupusas right there, too. Right off of Hoover Street.
Yeah.
Way back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's wild, man. It's wild, but like...
It's crazy, bro. There's Target right down the street down there now, too, by the park, bro. That's crazy.
That I didn't see coming, and it's funny because I feel like that Target doesn't even make very much. The point of that Target is just to remind you to go to Target.
Yeah.
To go to the bigger Target.
Yeah.
Wherever it's at.
Because it's only like 10 aisles.
Seriously, man. Like, how much can that store be making?
Yeah, a little bit
of
everything.
I don't even know.
I feel like it's just for the people that live right there. Like, run out of something, go downstairs and
just
grab,
to run up
right.
the price on that building.
That también, man. All the time. So
the amenities hit different.
The amenities. So you said your abuelita got here from Honduras, maybe the mid-70s or so. That's really classic. So, I mean, she must have seen that Family Arcade herself. Maybe she even played some Pac-Man at some point.
Yeah.
And then when, record. Right, the unbeatable record set the first record. And then when did your mom's and when did you come through?
My mom's been like in and out of here since she was I was born in 73. I want to say my mom probably came around 1980, and then she'll go back and forth. Mm. You know, I told you she went to, like, Blackwood, and she went to like Cannes, and then she went to Hollywood.
I'll tell you right now, you're the only person I know whose parents went to the same elementary and middle school that they went to, that we went to.
Yeah, my mom. Well, I didn't go to the same elementary or middle school, but I just grew up in that environment.
Oh, so you didn't go to Lockwood or King? But you went to Marshall, though.
Yeah. No, I went to King. My mom went to Lecon. I went to King.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Because they moved by where I was telling you on Mariposa up on Sunset.
Right.
So I guess they sent her to Lecon.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there were a lot less schools back then, too. Now there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's like we didn't get to see that, like, that part or that era where they would, like, you know, bring buses and take the kids to, like, their school. And it was just one school for the community.
Yeah, like, it was just a little different.
I think
even
when we got to high school, a lot of our friends left because I think MC had opened recently.
And yeah.
Roy Ball was brand new.
Yeah.
And then they made Sotomayor right there on San Fernando.
That's right. RFK School. Yeah. Right here in K-Town.
And RFK, you know, before it was just like Marshall. You know, Bernstein wasn't even there before.
No, it wasn't.
So it was like, I think it was Hollywood, Marshall, and Fairfax.
Yeah. That's right. Those were the big three. And then Belmont, too, of course.
Belmont.
Yeah. Shout out to Oh, that's so good. Yeah, nah, it's funny, too, because.
I forgot about that.
It's funny, too. It's a bit of a catch-22 in that case because. They needed to make more schools since the classrooms we went to were so overcrowded.
But how many people were in the classroom with you? Like 40, 50, 50, huh?
I don't even want to remember it, bro.
That's crazy.
But get this, now the new schools that they built are struggling because they don't have enough
kids.
Enrollment. Now they're
on. They're overbuilding schools.
Yeah.
Now there's not enough bodies.
That's right. And most of that has to do with the fact that people had to just leave LA, move out of LA. Just got way too expensive, so they took their families with them, and now.
Yeah, bro, I hate driving out of crazy, LA because everybody.
$1,300 for a studio.
I hate driving away from LA though, because a lot of people like family, they live really far. They have really big, nice houses, but it's like, drive through like a bunch of empty land just to get there.
Big facts.
You know, we're like, we grew up in the city, so that's not something that's normal for us.
That's right, man. Hopping on the 204, the 754 means a lot to me because it's like I can just get on that bus and end up in K-Town or go all the way down to USC
or past it, if
necessary. That's right.
Like near San Juan,
it goes really close. Yeah. I mean, not the 754, the 204, but it'll go all the way down to, like, deep. 120th Street and so on, like
it goes
way
to Compton,
down there.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you'll catch a connection from there to Compton and whatnot. But we actually used to have a bus. It used to be the 26.
26. Yeah. 26,
you gotta really
know
what's up. If
you
know, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to the LA Metro 26.
Used to be on that bus
on Virgil Avenue.
used to go
from Virgil Avenue out to Compton. That was a BB/Compton bus. You would never get something like that today, bro.
26, bro.
It's a rush all the time, bro.
Nah,
they took it away. I had to walk up
there. When they took it away, I was like, what?
You remember being on the bus for so long, you fall asleep, wake up, and still not be home yet. We were like teenagers. We had no business.
That 174 to Marshall, that shit would be crazy.
Bro, getting in that cramped-ass bus.
Damn, we just walked.
For real.
It was like zombies were coming for us. Where everybody was trying to force themselves in that bus.
And it was crazy because it was kids from King and kids from Marshall, so
going at it.
Yeah.
Man. Honestly, that era of ours, bro, that was like the best era of like counterfeit bus passes, bro.
That's a big fact. Hey, the best era.
Nobody was paying for that.
Here you go.
They had the stickers before,
bro.
Yeah.
At the attendance office.
People used to draw markers on them.
With highlighter.
Yo, shout out to Metro, bro.
Bro, that is not happening again with their Metro tap.
Oh, it's crazy because we have so many, like, benefits, right? So it's like,
that shit was wild.
We have, like, public transportation that's, like, actually public transportation.
Well, especially on the central side. Because on the east side, they don't get it like this.
Yeah,
on the east side,
buses should be, like, the dash.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot more. They have like vans now. They have the bikes on the side of the LA Metro.
It's mixed.
Not a lot of families rely on that, you know, to get the bread.
Yeah, I mean, and it's mixed now because Metro's a business too, and if the business isn't pulling in enough revenue, they got to start scaling back.
175, man.
That's exactly what it's been.
175 to use the pay fare, $1.75.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little crazy, man.
It was like, what, 125?
I remember when the dash was a quarter, dollar, bro. Thing. I'd go to the pool for a quarter, bro. That shit was crazy.
Oh, I used to pool. Hey, you got a quarter? Hey, you got a quarter?
Just far enough.
Tokens, too. Remember, you used to get the little bag of tokens?
Yeah, the bag. Yeah.
Sometimes when I didn't have any.
Yeah. Like the marble bag?
Yeah.
When the doors would open, I would run through the bag. I just went through the bag and just sit down.
Nah, y'all may or may not remember, but my mom, she's had a stand on Santa Monica Boulevard, right by Vermont, Santa Monica, for the longest time.
Newspaper stand.
So yeah, that's right. She used to sell tokens across the street from the swap meet. So I was, I always had tokens.
That little stand right in front of the little donut spot in the paper.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, my dude. Hey, Man, it's a lot of local stories like that, my dude. Yeah, so she's been here for a while, too. And I mean, it's changed. Everything has changed because she's not at that exact spot.
But where are the things that remain that, you know, that keep them here, that, make this home?
That's right. I mean, even that Payless came through more than once.
The Payless, bro. Yeah
like when when you needed something real fast, man, that Payless was key.
Like kitchen shoes and stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know if Payless exists as a company anymore.
You know, we like,
no, I don't think so.
My mom bought me, like, some J's, some ones one time, but I would stay in school till, like, 6. It was either that or get going errands with her in traffic.
Right.
So I would play soccer, I play like football, basketball, handball, kickball. So like my shoes.
Tetherball, bro.
My shoes would get messed up.
Tetherball was crazy,
bro. I was liking
shoes. And then so she started buying me expensive shoes. I remember a few times I got black Airwalks at Payless, and I just took off the thing from the back.
Man, that's so clutch.
It's like $15 for a pair of shoes.
Let's go.
And they're black. I was like,
if you're rocking them K-Swiss, bro.
Yeah.
K-Swiss,
for sure. The Pumas.
Wait, you remember?
I'm still rocking Pumas.
You remember the shoe store that was right there on...
What's that? America's, bro.
The shoe store that was right there right before Hobart, right before Villalobos on Santa Monica.
I'm not sure if I remember that one.
It's like an orange building. I don't know if it was a Millennium Shoes or a warehouse shoe.
Oh, is that right?
I think so, right there. Right there.
Wasn't that on Western?
No, before that. I know which one you're talking
about. It wasn't a warehouse.
There was one right before
I used to get my SBs at the warehouse, bro. Wow. Back in the day, bro, it's my SB.
You know where they do the tire change and the oil change?
Yeah, right. I mean, I know that spot.
Taco stand?
Yeah.
All right, so in that same block, there's that taco
building.
That's all the hipsters hanging out outside of that. Yeah. It used to be a shoe store.
It's so wild, man.
It's like a Mexican restaurant right there.
Yeah, too. There was a restaurant and a shoe store.
Even the Fallas Paredes that we used to have up in Vermont. The Fallas Paredes just went down, bro.
My fucking shirts, bro. My polos.
But you remember it? Maybe after like six, seven weeks, it started to get super itchy.
A little bit.
Hey, but it still came through, my dude.
That's where you had that. I saw that underclub.
The Pro Club undershirt.
Yeah, Pro Club undershirt, bro. That's where I came through.
I think that's how we learned to stand the heat. Club undershirts.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Big facts, man.
You had that phase where you were wearing hoodies and it was hot as hell.
Man, that's a crucial phase to get through out here. Yeah. Especially out here, for sure.
It builds character.
That's right.
It's crazy, though, how even before we met each other, we kind of grew up together.
Yeah.
That's right.
We grew up the same way in the same area.
Man, all in one circle and you don't even
chances
know.
Chances are, like, our moms, like, even like if they don't know each other, they probably talk to each other at the
at one point,
man, that's the process of discovery. That's the art of discovery.
About it being just family.
Or they probably even met picking us up from school.
That's right. That's 100% it.
My mom was like good friends with fucking Ham's mom, bro. Like I didn't know that. I never knew that.
Right.
That shit was crazy to me.
Right. That is wild, man. That is wild. Especially given that Ham's mom passed, like, most recently. That's so hard. And
I know you said that, like, we were butt buddies in high school. But, like, we would always go to his house right after.
That's right,
I heard him talk about how, like, she wouldn't, like, she kind of just accepted him smoking.
His mom, bro,
That was a lot of heart on Ham's part just to put that out like that.
Judged by that woman, bro. And, like, she always made us feel like one of her own, bro, like that.
Oh, awesome.
And
so
cool, man. And we had, like, a routine. So, like, we would leave, like, school. Park, smoke, play ball, me, him, like, probably like 20 deep. We'll walk down the hill to his crib, go smoke out his bong, you know, like, he'd get, like basketball
back patio
shoes.
And stuff like that,
yeah, we weren't smoking from her. She had, like, a back patio. And then, Like, we just be smoking the bong, we'd eat, she'd feed us, and then we'd go right back up to the park, probably like at 6 when everybody, all the older homies came from work and they were pulling up. And then we'd be there probably till like 10 p.m.
That was the time, like 6 right here at Bellevue Park, you mean,
too. To like Bala, no.
We'd be there till like 10 p.m. Probably.
That's when the lights turn off, huh?
To his pad, smoke a blunt, and like his cousin or like his aunt.
What you go Bala? Would take us home. Let's go Bala.
His mama is like made us feel welcome when we went to
the house. Yeah, bro, that's it.
It's interesting because Bellevue Park has so many, has attachments to so many different stories like that, and I'm grateful for that little park because it does so much work, as tiny as it is.
Bro, we had so many.
Yo, they made a little hiking trail on
so many people day in and day out.
Really? Yeah, they made a little hiking trail.
It's
like,
so,
oh,
it's so cool though to see that because you know, when we were little, it was just us, and now the communities are integrated. So, like, let's say like our nephews, our little brothers, you know, our kids, like. They're gonna grow up and they're gonna get a. They're gonna be really well cultured just because of the different ethnicities.
Yeah,
in the community.
Facts.
Yeah,
that's right. I think it also takes a lot on the part of the people that do
Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
it's the Parks and Rec department. Like the folks who are there got to do a lot of maintenance for the park, and they got to do it well enough for the park to stay looking
that's
well.
That's true.
For Jimmy, bro, that's his name.
Oh, right, yeah,
bro.
Everybody knows
shout
that cat.
Jimmy, bro.
That's right.
Yeah, I used to work at I was doing the Parks and Rec thing for a couple years.
Oh, is that right?
I had my little brother playing football. I was working at Lake Street, so like I know that it's you know it's out of your kindness to like be working at a park.
Yeah,
100%. Shout out to all those cats.
Shout out to people that do that for the community. Yeah,
that's right.
Teaching a kid how to dribble a ball.
That's
how to
right.
Kick a you know,
and they teach more than sports, bro. They're teaching like valuable
leadership
lessons,
and
bro,
shit. You know,
in sports, yeah, it's not. It's just a game, bro. But at the end of the day, it's not just a game, bro. You're getting taught
it's like
life lessons,
character
bro.
Development,
it
and shit. You know,
after
man.
A loss, bro. Like that's just
it
crazy.
Teaches you growth and what he literally what he just said. It develops character.
That's exactly
you know, like if you don't have it at home when you go to the park, you see how like every kid's parents are different, or how there's rules to the game and everything. So it's like you know when you're doing good and when you're doing bad.
Yeah, or you cannot be getting no love at home and step onto the court with your teammates and everybody showing you nothing but love, bro. That could be your only escape right there.
That's true.
Shout out to the parks in Los Angeles like
for
that,
sure,
man.
Honestly,
shout
like,
out to all those people who are committed to that work because it ain't easy either. But I see
folks.
Easy,
honestly.
I see folks doing that.
At the park, the kids are like off for summer. They have water balloon fights with the kids. And
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bro.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, man. Even on a Sunday,
that
I was at
character.
Bellevue Park just yesterday. So I see that folks are showing up to work even on a Sunday because they really love that.
Yeah.
They really love that opportunity for them and the community.
Yeah, like during baseball season, it gets really packed.
Yeah, and it gets heated out there. Those parents get really into that like little league baseball
man,
for sure.
I wish I played baseball growing up.
Yeah.
I never got into it, but
baseball's cool. I like playing baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. I like sports.
Man, I can tell. I can definitely tell.
Yeah.
Like just physical activity and like you know writing down words and reading them in front of a mic like that. That's how I, you know, that's how I let my stress out.
100%, and that's what this comes down to, and that's why it's a pleasure for me to be here once again with the VVs because we're reminiscing.
Same.
And we're having a good time reflecting on the neighborhood and all the people who make it up.
Shout out Jimbo Times.
Hell yeah.
Sure.
Shout out Jimbo Times. Shout out the VVs. Shout out everybody who loves the neighborhood for that.
Bro.
That's right. Here. Now, and one thing I wanted to ask y'all, especially after reflecting on the first convo with Sick Ass Ham and Ducey. Shout out Sick Ass Ham and Ducey for getting
honestly,
us started here.
Shout out the homies, bro. Honestly. Honestly,
it was so much fun.
It's a diamond in the rough.
It was so much fun. And one thing I realized I wanted to ask about that I didn't get to, but that I'll get to ask y'all now is about the cover art, actually. Because for me, part of recognizing the neighborhood was seeing this creative take on none other than the swap meet. So I just want to ask y'all for a moment, like, where did that come from? Like how did you choose the swap meet? And then how did you choose to put your names up and then also the memorial that you got on there. Tell me a little bit about it.
We each try to find a picture of the community. And he was the one that brought that idea about.
You mean Don C?
Yeah. And I think he actually found the picture of the swap meet. And then we were like digging through Google and then we found the older picture of the swap meet. And he's like, look, this one has like the old car that was always parked right there in the front.
And we kept messing with them. Shout out to my homie Ted Kim. Bro.
Yeah.
At that time, at that point of his life, he was working on like photoshopping and like, you know, digital, you know. And then I kept, me and him like worked a little bit, and he, that's what he came up with and all that. But it kind of got a little annoying because like it was like little ticky tack things that we needed to fix and all that. Yeah, and I kept hitting him up and bugging him like yo. And he had to work and all that shit, so it was like...
Nah, but shout out to him, because he would do it even while he was on his break.
Yeah, honestly, like,
sure he would.
Yeah.
For real, honestly, no, he's but really cool. He really came through. College.
Man, so that cover art wasn't no simple, just...
Nah, I took work,
bro. One-two quick fix, huh?
Wait, didn't Saul do something on the cover, too? I think
he worked in a little, because we had just had Mac P-Dog on the car, and that's when he mentioned, yo, let's put a Rebel, or... Yeah, right? Yeah, and all that. So we kept adding things and all that.
Man. I just think it's cool how like somebody like from the area could see that cover and they'd be like, "Oh, this is home."
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Instantly.
Yeah, bro. Honestly.
Instantly.
It was a staple. That and like the Family Arcade, those are two things.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
You
honestly.
See it, you know exactly where that is, exactly what and it stands for,
and then like chances are there's gonna be a big tall ass building right there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 7 stories. 7 stories is what's coming.
That shit is tall as fuck, bro. I was like, damn, bro. Hey.
Yeah.
Gran Burrito.
Shout out to Gran Burrito, bro. Honestly, bro.
We were talking about that last time.
I'm always going to remember them, bro.
I'm telling you, when I would get on that 25 side, I would hop on a dash ride going across the street. Get on Chata real quick, bro.
That shit was fire, bro.
Yeah, that shit was wild.
Yeah, that's right. Owner always had love. The owner was a little short dude. Always wanted to
see Pedro, yeah, Don Pedro.
Occasionally, you'll find like a few people that will say like it was like something negative, but I feel like everybody has nothing but positive memories.
Yeah, honestly,
it's funny too because I came across a lot of that too. When I would bring that spot up, they'd go, "Nah, like I don't really mess with Gran Burrito." But the real situation there is the spot, the place. Like it's always there for you. It's always an option.
Metro makes it look good.
You remember coming from like a family party, Little as Hill, they like, oh, we're going to Gran Burrito.
Real quick, bro.
Actually, it's interesting that you mention it too, C, because they were there before the Metro Red Line came in.
Bro,
like, so
for real?
Yeah, so Metro Red Line
for not getting out.
Yeah. So yeah, they used to, because they used to do a truck, from what I understand. Don Pedro used to do a truck off of like Virgil at some point. Yeah, he used to run a truck before it was a big store. At some point, the shop opened up. He got in there, and then later Metro also came through. Yeah. But Metro brings its own elements because it's a Metro stop, and people are going in and out.
It brings attention to the spot.
That's right.
So many people know Gran Burrito that don't even live in the area. State.
It's crazy,
that's right.
Bro. Honestly,
for years on end, I remember meeting a family there one time that said, "Yeah, like we've been coming here for at least 20 years, like, and we don't even live in the area anymore, but we still get here to."
And what happened? Did they just like retire and like sell the
so actually, from what I understand, Don Pedro, he did sell off that portion
before. I'm pretty sure for a big chunk.
Well, maybe I don't really know what a big chunk is anymore. I would hope so, really, but. From what I understand, he's not finished. That's what I know. So he's still got the neighborhood in mind. He's still got his business in mind. So I'm not gonna like go into any spoilers on air or on the record for it.
That's tight.
But from what I understand, he's not just like
there's
out.
A possibility.
He's not out.
I'm not fucking
not entirely.
Well,
that's the thing too,
thinking
right? It's like,
yeah.
Hey, and it's just like we said. Like once you really get into it with the neighborhood,
I've been telling my homies, bro, buy the neighborhood back, bro.
That part.
Buy the neighborhood back.
That
bro.
Part, and it's interesting because I know, especially through my mom's.
I had that as a bar in one of my songs.
Yeah. It's really interesting because especially through my mom's, we've known people who come from way far out, like years after they left the neighborhood, who still just hang out here because it's still just their thing, because their people are still here, because their relatives are still here. And so even while they're not physically located at a residency in the neighborhood anymore, this is still home or the second home for them somehow in many cases.
I haven't lived here since, what, 2017, 2018?
Right.
And I still feel like this is my home.
Well, yeah,
like,
bro.
It is though. Yeah, nothing
changes. Yeah.
Yeah, remember to lean into that mic, my dude.
Nah, yeah, it is home. Your mom's there. Home's wherever you
are. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Nah, so I really like that background story behind the cover art. And then, actually, you mentioned DJ Aztecs. Tell me a little bit about DJ Aztecs. When did y'all first connect with him? He's a Marshall alum too, from what I recall.
We connected because of Fuego.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to play football with him at Marshall.
Yeah,
but I met him when I was in sixth grade. I think we probably all met him.
Yeah, we all met him in sixth grade.
To be honest, I was never really like cool with him. I always knew he lived right across the street from me, but like, yeah, I
sure,
was
it's there, like that.
Never really talked to him that much. Was. Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
when Jimmy Douglas, because you know how him and Douglas.
Yeah, bro, I met Douglas, bro, since like fucking kindergarten and shit like that, bro. Me and Douglas go way back like that, but. Me and Saul were never cool like that. That's why when I seen him and I was like, oh shit, if I finally get a chance.
I feel on Burns too, yeah.
Sure enough, bro, I was one of, like, I was a solid
thing in King
too.
I think in King too, like, we had mutual friends, but
we used to kick in Drinko and smoke. Yeah.
Talking to, I think we were playing flag football actually.
Yeah.
In 7th or 8th grade at King.
Okay.
And from there, when we finished going to King, we started playing football at Marshall.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So,
and then remember how Ham was talking about like that we would have ciphers?
Yeah, whenever we'll of course.
Ciphers,
in the locker room,
Aztecs would like slap on the table and he'd just start beatboxing.
Oh, with that foot, my ear, with his mouth.
So even so,
he beatbox probably for like, I want to say at least 3 minutes.
There you go. Bro. There you go. So even way back, that music, that rhythm was in his veins.
Yeah, but it's like I feel like, you know, like what we're talking about. A lot, all of us have music.
100%, 100%, and I really appreciate that. I wanted to shout out DJ Aztecs for that production and for coming through for the neighborhood like that.
He's from the roots, bro.
Burnside Studios.
Right, shout out Burnside Studios. Yeah, I definitely like to link up with Saul, you said his name is.
Yeah,
because I'd love to hear more about his production work and how that, what that looks like out here in L.A.
He's literally in home right now.
That's right.
That's why, like, for him.
That's right.
Right, he talked about the Dominican guests, that Dominican band coming through and everything. Were they Dominican or were they Honduran? He talked about that Honduran band coming in, and that's
got them to sign something for him. Just to get George.
Right. See, that's something I really appreciated too. The central side of LA contains people from all over, including a lot of folks from Central America. But most of the people that I've met or spoken with from the neighborhood are either Salvadorian or Guatemalan, and maybe you'll meet folks from Honduras every now and again.
There's like, you know how we were talking about how like the kids, like the next generation, they're gonna know like different culture backgrounds just together. It's like for us, we learned that through like, you know, like the businesses, like you were saying, like
like tamales. We go down, get a Salvadorian tamale,
yeah,
one block, go down another block, get a Mexican one, go down another one, get a Guatemalan one, bro. 100%. It's crazy, bro.
100%.
I love that shit.
100%. And my mom is Mexican and my pops is Salvi, but I really got to give it to the... Hey, I love that. Really? But I really got to give it to the Salvis for their tamales personally, because I really love those Salvadorian tamales.
Nah, but you know, but like with that being said, it's like what, like probably you, like what sort of ethnicity are like your friend group? You know, because we
like a little bit of everything for sure. Like
there's like Bengalis.
Yeah, going to Marshall. Yeah, like you're gonna meet like the Filipino American community is like strong, tight knit, and they're like right next to you, and you're almost always rolling together.
Yeah,
and
Filipinos, Armenians.
Yeah, then you're in class with Armenian American students, and there's gonna be a culture collision every now and again, especially when you're younger and everything. Yeah. But like as time passes, you see so much of the commonality, and you realize, man, here's another people. Yeah, here's another people out here trying to make it day by day.
Yeah, so. I remember everybody has a different teacher, so everybody learns different. Like you probably learned some lessons before, like we got to the age to learn.
Yeah, tracks back to 100%.
That was cool. That was cool. I feel like that's how we learned to socialize more.
Yeah,
that there was tracks and.
A lot of different people that you met through those tracks. That's right.
What year did they take out the tracks?
I think freshman year.
Right
before 8th grade.
Right before 8th grade?
I think halfway through 8th grade, huh?
I think somewhere in there.
Wow.
I wasn't there when we went to Marshall. They still had it, no? Marshall?
At Marshall they had it, but they took it out at King, remember?
Yeah. They put the Lions part shit. Remember that? Yeah. The Lions part.
Oh, bro, I didn't even want to put my fucking PE uniform on.
It was the Lions part and what else? I forgot the other ones, bro. But that's the one I was in, though. The Lions part.
It's a big throwback, man. Like the Corner Grill, which we got to shout out again, too. Shout out the Corner Grill at King Middle School.
We knew that they were going to come with Academy. Fries were me
that. That shit was funny as fuck, bro.
It's funny, too, though, because you speak with people who went to school, say, in the Palisades or, say, in Brentwood, and I have, because I've spoken with people who technically lived here who got bussed out to school because the schools here were not that reputable. They weren't well-known for their major graduation rates and major college rates and everything. For them, tracks were never a thing. And the reason they took the tracks out in the first place is because they were saying, hold up, like, some kids are in for some kids, including the B-track kids. I'm actually talking specifically about the B-track kids. They'd be in school for 2 months, be out of school for another 2 months, and then finish the semester in 2 months again later on. So, like, the drop-off was just a little too much. It was way too much. And it was also based on the zip code, too. So if you're in B-track, you were likely getting less critical school time than people on C or A-track. And the system got real criticized for that. Of course.
I wasn't even supposed to go to King, but I was going to go to King one way or another.
What were you going to?
I think my grandma got, like, her niece's address.
So you were going to be a LeConte kid?
Yeah, I was going to go to LeConte.
I feel that. And then probably crazy, Hollywood afterward, too.
Yeah, but all my friends from elementary school are going to King, so I'm going to King.
Man, it's interesting because listening to a little bit of Mac P, he mentioned having friends on both the Marshall side and then also the Hollywood side. So, I mean, in any case, you were going to be on this Central LA side, one or the other.
Like, me and Josh were doing bad in school, and my sister had got kicked out of Marshall, like, a couple years.
Wow. So she went to Alonzo. You were with Joshy like that,
So my sister went to Alonzo, and there was, like, a long-ass waiting list for summer school. And I remember I always needed grades for football season, so I was always at summer school. Yeah. But it's cool because there was nothing to do at home during the summer, you know? So it's like at summer school, you'll meet people from different schools
in
the area. So I remember, like, Joshy and my other homie Victor went because my sister, like, put our name on top of the list. And that's when we started meeting everybody from, like,
man, so just to be sure, when you're saying that, you're talking about Joshua, you're talking about the late Mac P Dog. Once again, rest in peace, Mac P Dog. But you're talking about being real good homies, real good friends with this cat who was really just getting started with their rap career.
Honestly, I met Joshua when I was in sixth grade, and, like, me, him, and, like, my other friend Keon, we were, like, bud buddies, like, from the moment we met. And then I remember I got really close to him because around the time that I met him, like, my little brother had just passed away.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was like, I would look after him like he was
I could see that.
Because he was a little younger than me and he was way smaller, you know?
Right.
So it was like him, I think Elias Forbes, and there was another friend that we had, Douglas. And then Chris. But they were all our friends and they were all small, but they were like always go with us everywhere. They were down to do whatever and they would play sports with us.
Man, that's so interesting, my dude, because that's another legacy in the neighborhood and in LA is that, like, the line of heights, that range of height in the neighborhood, the little homies and the big homies. The unity, that you all found for the most random thing. For the most random thing, like just messing around in class at some point, and then it doesn't even matter. Really big, like, man, so to be sure as well with Joshy, or when it comes to Joshy, did you ever get a chance to roll with him to any of these shows when he started coming up performing, or by then, is it that he was just, like, so far in with this other...
He was doing his thing.
Yeah, with this other crew.
But Joshy was cool because Joshy could run into anybody in any area of the community, and he'd still, like, he'd still chop it up with you, ask you to chill.
Didn't y'all have a show with Roach, Tenno?
Yeah, when I first started rapping, Joshy went to one of our shows with me, Tenno, and Roach.
Well, he didn't perform, though, huh?
Yeah, he didn't perform, but he would go with us. He'd, like, hype us up. This was before he started making music. He'd be in the studio with us in the valley.
Yeah.
But I remember we had a show one time in Manteca going up. And then there was a 209. Yeah, and he went with us, and we stayed at, like, the promoter's crib. It was cool. I think we performed with a couple of big artists from the Bay.
Wow.
40's nephew, Turf Talk.
Wow.
And then there was some other rapper named Gully.
Okay.
But that over there is weird because LA's so different than all these other cities. Like over there, they're known in the whole city. Yeah. You know?
Right. Right.
Like LA's so big, bro. That, like,
LA's so spread out. It's difficult, man. It's difficult to branch and to really go from one neighborhood to the next.
Yeah.
And get that rep going.
Like but over there, it's small, but they're really. That's right. But they're a unit. Like they.
Oakland is easily like.
They push each other.
Yeah. Oakland is probably like top five for cities. That is
for sure.
In terms of how well known they are for their crowd, for their love of the music.
My dad's in Oakland right now.
When it comes to hip hop, especially.
That's what benefit like the past like 6 years.
Yeah. Honestly, no, probably wouldn't have our sound years. Without the
That's Bay a big
area.
Fact. That's a big fact.
Shout out Mac Dre.
Yeah. That's right. Shout out Mac Dre. Shout out the whole band.
He might not be everybody's favorite rapper, but you know, like the foundation for the new wave music.
That's exactly it.
His music.
That's exactly it.
His beat choices, you know, his rhyming patterns.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in L.A., because we get so caught up with, like, the big artists, the big names, the Ice Cubes and the Snoop Dogs and D.R.E.s. Like, it can be easy to overlook the Bay, but if you know, you know.
Yeah, Mac Dre, absolutely. Too Short,
that's right.
40.
That's right.
Yeah, I started knowing about
where
Bay
would
Area
we
music.
Be without Too Short?
Yeah, bro, Mac Dre and Too Short
where would
are
we be? Where would hip-hop be?
Music. You know, it's that 100%. That type of sound.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and even that swag, too, because then you see that rap comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Like, Too Short's flow is so different from a Snoop
it's like
or an Eminem
just,
or
like
a 50
if he's
Cent.
Just talking.
That's right. It's like he's having a convo with
but
you.
But he grabs your attention when he's flowing. It's crazy.
And it's always been authentic on his part.
Yeah, he's Too Short. He doesn't have to rap fast. Yeah. He's Too Short.
Nah, that's a big deal, especially coming up on 50 years of the form. Did y'all ever listen to, like, what was his name? The guy who made La Raza. Kid Frost.
Kid Frost. Yeah, Kid Frost.
A little bit of that. Especially if you were on GTA at some point, you heard that soundtrack.
La Raza. Yeah,
especially if you were playing Grand Theft Auto.
I feel like a lot of music,
it was a major.
Just because of the games.
Which I don't think happens anymore in the same way.
Games, yeah. They don't have the same quality of, like, music. You know, they don't have the same quality story.
My brother-in-law
waiting to get the game and hop online and whip.
Yeah, that's right. GTA had the radio had a bunch of fucking great music.
I love listening to the radio.
The
on
GTA,
that
GTA radio. I might just die, bro. Honestly, bro.
Radio Los Santos. Shout out Radio Los Santos.
That's just dope, bro. Honestly,
nah,
but my brother-in-law he actually put me on a lot of like underground hip hop. Honestly, shout out to Mark. Honestly.
Oh, 100%, man.
He actually put me on, like, a Psycho Realm, Sick Jackin', bro.
I could,
like,
definitely see that.
Like, an Immortal Technique, bro. Fucking...
Immortal Technique is tight.
Brother Ali, bro. Atmosphere, bro.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Lots
Murs,
of atmosphere from
you got the Murs in there, bro.
Murs is tight. Sublime's tight, too.
That's just crazy,
yeah, we
bro.
Actually see that's another part of
yeah,
it, too.
Yeah,
I actually saw the Living Legends perform at Amoeba when it was still right there on Sunset. So that Amoeba was pretty key,
Amoeba,
too, for
bro.
Shows.
Amoeba, bro.
I've gone. It's nice. Man. It's nice. It's big. Honestly, it's big. It's, you know, it's no more two stories. So like, everything just laid out.
Yeah,
bro.
That's right. That's right.
So, like, you just got
but
to
I
go
hope that
know.
They
know
get some shows
for.
Going there soon because I still remember seeing. Like I met Murs there one time, and I met the Living Legends for sure.
The Living Legends.
I saw even like the last time, the very last time I ever caught a show. It was this one band just coming up. They got this song, The Green Twins. I forget the name now, but I'll remember it. They had this song called The Green Twins, but it was this real cool cat.
That's crazy, bro.
And the show was free, and it was like a cool place to meet just other hip-hop heads, other people who love this sound and that vibe. I think that's a little harder to come by nowadays, but I hope that we get some of it back to the best of our ability.
Honestly.
In terms of performances, where have y'all gotten to perform, even maybe just one or two songs off of Virgil Village, the album?
Yeah, what was that place called? Chain Reaction.
Chain Reaction. Club Bahia.
Bahia. Warehouse.
Warehouse.
Yeah, yeah. Warehouse. Yeah, shout out Javi.
Javi, yeah.
Shout out fuck Javi. Yeah, yeah,
like,
he's a photographer.
Bro. He hosted like hosted this whole event,
like,
bro.
Like street photography about like just everyday
like
street,
urban, oh, just hip hop.
That was sick, boo.
Takes pictures of like hit ups on
yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, bro.
It's like a underground double XL, bro. That shit is dope.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, that shit is dope,
bro. Yeah, I hope Javi, if you're listening, bro, I hope you end up making a magazine for the community.
Yeah,
let's
bro.
Go.
Sure, bro.
Let's go, yeah.
He has a really good eye for photography.
He does, bro.
Yeah, he took a couple pictures for us, too.
Yeah,
bro, that's awesome.
Oh, is that right? For VV, the album.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not just for like a show. I think he pulled up to one of our
shows.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah, the show in Anaheim.
We put it out of love, too, bro. Like,
the show in Anaheim, because our first show, I think, yeah, we sold like, I don't know, I remember we sold like 50 tickets, but it was like 100 people right there.
Man, that's cool. I mean,
total. It was just cool. That was the time that I told you that like our friend Elsie got the VIP yeah. section. We were like, what the hell?
That's so cool.
That shit was dope, bro.
That shit was crazy. That's when the hood had like a whole section right there, bro.
Literally everybody from Burns.
Yeah, bro.
That's wild to me, man.
I was tripping out, but I was like, damn. Yeah. I was like,
in Anaheim.
Well, once we took the stage, bro, I looked out like, damn.
Oh, right here by Dodger
Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but yeah, okay, right here. Right here in Echo Park, then.
Yeah, the one in okay. Anaheim.
It's like the sunset.
It wasn't really our people.
Okay.
But that day was cool because we met some people that liked that music.
Was that for P. Lennon?
Yeah.
P. Lennon. Shout out to P. Lennon, bro.
That's our biggest thing. Like, we could probably
Don Will. Shout out Don Will.
Two people like our music.
Let's go.
You know, maybe they show it to like 10 other people.
100% and all the time. I mean, when it comes to, say, organizing a show, tell us about that for a moment. Like,
that's all fuego.
Like, honestly, you make an album, and then how is it that you decide, all right, now that it's out, let's see about getting some of these songs out to the people that is live in front of them with us and everything. How does that even, where do you even begin there?
Well, I think it was mostly just out of, well, me and George, we wanted to make visuals, and then Fuego was like, yo,
yeah, when I
booked
first,
it and all that shit.
When I first started making music, with my homie Tenno that I was telling you, He found a way to get us booked because the guy that was in charge of he was going to a school for audio engineering, but it was a recording studio. And the person who owned it, his name was D-Wiz. He used to produce E-40's music when E-40 was, like, rapping in college, you know, like, trying to make it out. He has all the plaques right there for, like, Too Short, E-40, Spice One.
Wow.
And he found a way to connect us with the promoter from Afton Shows, I think, and then Tenno would get booked for shows. And then that name always stuck with me. And I'm scared, bro, like, to this day, like, honestly, like, when I get on stage, I get really scared, really nervous. But I'm like, it's part of the grind, like, I have to do that shit, you know, even though I fall on my face. Like, the other time I had a show, it was in Anaheim, it was just my girlfriend, my homegirl, and her boyfriend. And, like, you know, like, nobody else, like, there was, like, probably, like, 15 other people I was performing. And then they were vibing to it, but the artist that performed before me, he walked out and he took, like, all the people. I don't know if he was, like, salty or what. But I'm like, it's crazy because I literally stood my ass there and watched him perform, even though he was performing, like, sad, like, trap metal music.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't my cup of tea, but me as an artist, I was just right there
watching
him perform his art.
So, well, and like, especially as one performer to the other, like, look, bro.
Like, that day was whack, but I'm just like, I did it, you know? Like, there's good ones, there's bad ones. I'm like, fuck it. Nah, I just do better the next time.
That's so important to hear because I think a lot of us, we see the end product, and we were talking a little bit about this the first go round, and we don't know everything involved behind the scenes and how, you know what, an artist, like everybody else, is going to have a good day, and they're going to have some not so good days, some bad days. And
the difference is, like, now I'm a man,
so there's always a new day.
Dealing with the bad days of myself head on, you know. When we were small, we had our parents to guide us and tell us, like, oh, do this, do that differently, or, you know, this is how you get ready for it. So it's like, it's swag, but it's cool because you gain so much experience and knowledge from it. So it doesn't make you pussyfoot, but it kind of gives you a smarter approach for the next time you do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nah, and for me, it's really interesting, too, because a part of what I love about the album, a part of what I love about y'all coming together is, everything rooted at home, rooted in this community that we all know. And then the fact that y'all are, you're coming from Latin America. You're coming from this Latin culture. As they would say on the East Coast, you're coming from being Latino and growing up in a Latino household and so on. And that's a that's an interesting story for me now more than ever, because you have more Latinos in hip hop than ever before. And I'm wondering about that moment. I'm wondering about that breakout moment for the Latino community, because I think it's just on the cusp, but it takes a little bit of everybody doing their thing, including young, unsigned rappers who rap because they love to rap. And that's kind of what y'all are up to. But I want to ask your thoughts for a moment about, say, Latinos in hip hop and where that is or where it's going, because for me, that's something that is just on the cusp, if only for a few more things. But what do y'all make of that?
Yeah, I believe Latin hip hop is coming on the rise, or if anything, it's been, you know, it's always been here, but people just have to go and find it because it's not as popular as mainstream music, you know.
Big facts. From Big Pun to Kid Frost.
Remember how we were talking about, like, growing up around music?
Yeah.
Like Spanish music, it was underground before. Like, yeah, even before I came, when I was in Honduras, like, they'll burn CDs, like tapes, with like music that only DJs would play at the club. Yeah. Back then, that's how you got your song put on. You know, they'll play it at the club, and then eventually the right person would get his hands on it and play it on the radio to see what the feedback was like. They don't have opportunities that's like that anymore, because everything's a monopoly, you know, like everything that you want, you got to pay for. It's like you get what you give. Hopefully more back than what you invest. CDs,
bro.
Yeah, but they'll have burnt CDs, bro. Like, you know, so before, all that music was underground. Like, we'd see it on the premios, the Hispanic premios, Brown Univision, so it was just our people watching it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, like the Grammys and stuff like that, right. Like, where it's global.
Right.
So I feel like it's came a long way, because now it's mainstream. Now you got the number one artist being Hispanic.
Right.
It's not something that would happen often back then.
Right. Yeah. Right. It took a moment to really come into the full scope, and it's still just doing that. Because I think about the fact that Puerto Rican communities were breakdancing right alongside African American communities in the Bronx, the Boogie Down, way back when.
That New York, so that culture is like crazy. Just
crazy, honestly.
Yeah. So like you said just now, it's always been there, and it's always like it's always been here. So it's a matter of it coming home a little bit. But that's why when I see young cats such as yourselves making sure that hip-hop lives for you personally, for your own community, that's a big deal. It's not about, for me, whether you take it all the way or not is one thing, but the other side of it is, look, it's right here, and, like, you can find it. And it's not just interesting to find it. It does a lot for a person to know that somebody took the time. That's the reason that we're all doing it. That's the reason that we're all here.
Shout
outs
to East LA too, bro. There's a bunch of Chicanos in East LA, bro. Like Cesar Chavez, or like, you know,
taquerias.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, shout out East LA, bro. Like,
yeah, they got good food out there, bro.
I feel like hip hop will never fully die, because wherever there's, like, you know, struggle,
like Vernon and all that, bro.
Facts.
Wherever there's struggle and there's pain, there's hip hop.
Boyle Heights and shit.
You live like.
Nah, I like that, because I mean I've been listening to Russian hip hop randomly.
What the fuck?
Randomly. Because it's out there too, just like that, my dude.
Hey, do you understand it though? Or like,
nah, I mean, I'm trying to at some point, but. The vibe is good. The vibe is a lot like drill. So it's like drill Russian rap. But the interesting part of it is, I was listening to it just the other day, and in the middle of the Russian, this cat goes, "Rest in peace, Pop Smoke." So even all the way out in Russia, folks are aware.
That's their sound, you know. Like drill music is UK rap.
That's
right.
Like Chicago music, like, you know, shout out Chirac, Chief Keef, you know, like that's where drill music came first.
Right.
And then we got a different taste of drill music now in New York, which is dope, because it has integrated the roots of like the Hispanic community, like that's you're right. saying. Like they'll take like a salsa song and sample it.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, it's like a drill beat, a New York drill beat. You know?
That's right.
That's crazy,
and
bro.
It's cool because you're just talking about like New York.
That's exactly right.
They got the culture, and the breakdancing comes from over there too. Like, I feel like if there was never hip hop out there, we would not have it out here.
That's one thing too for me and the work that I do. Like, it's a big deal to connect a little bit of those pieces and to show people that, like, when you get out to LA, like, LA has got stories everywhere, but it's also, especially when it comes to these Latino communities, it's not just on the east side. it's all over.
Yeah, everywhere.
And
bro.
It's mixed. It's yeah. And it's not just Latino either. Like we were saying earlier about our friend groups. It's yeah, it's Filipinx, yeah. It's Korean American, it's African American. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah. And yeah. I don't want those stories to just go by unnoticed. I don't want those stories to simply go unheard. So when you're rapping about the VV for a minute, you're doing a great part in preserving that story and in making sure that legacy is heard. And I just hope nothing but more from y'all in the days ahead.
You know how you're saying, like, hip-hop? Like,
more music on the way.
I hope, hey. I hope you listen to, like, you know how you say hip-hop? I hope you listen to some of our music whenever you get, like, the chance, because we also have individual music.
That's right.
Like, Forbes has music that's, like, stemmed from hip-hop. And then, like, I have music that's, like, kind of stemmed from hip-hop. Yeah. Like, Hectic Flow, like, in a sense, that's where that song came from.
Of course.
Yeah. Even him, he has. I have like a bunch of unreleased,
A bunch of unreleased music that I have, but it's just a like matter of me breaking out of my shell and being like, you know, like fucking, you know, like I already have it recorded and all that. Yeah,
gotta release. Right. That's like you gotta
sound, before, you like, gotta sound stupid behind closed doors in order to shine in front of the critics.
That, I think that's like my main thing. It's just like breaking out of this shell. It's just like, you know what?
Yeah, bro, who cares? Like I've stumbled a lot. I said some stupid. Like now when I freestyle, I like music so much that if I get fucked up, I'll just like pause for like a second and then I'll catch the beat.
That too, honestly. I like you know, when I go in the studio, you know, go to the mic and all that.
Hey, honestly, playing
what you have on a track is like, it's just gonna be forever. So it's like,
honestly, he said he said unreleased music, new music coming soon.
Yeah.
The other time we were here,
I like that. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I mean, and that's what I'm saying too. Like, it's
motivated us, honestly.
It's just like what we said about the CDs way back when, right? Like, the CDs no longer exist. Those burn CDs no longer exist. Just like LimeWire no longer exists and whatnot. But you pass that word along to Jimbo Times. Jimbo Times passes that word along to some of his network, some of his community. That's what this podcast is about, 100%. So for sure, like, we still find a way to get that hot potato along.
Yeah, I hope some people tune into this, check it out, and check bro, out honestly, our music. And,
that's right.
You shout know, out Jimbo Time, subscribe.
You can make fun of me, I'm going to get better. You could give me a pat on the back, I'm going to get better. But we're going to keep working, but feedback helps the process.
Let's go. Let's go.
I left my feelings.
We were just talking about that too. It took a little while for these cats to really be able to say that. I know it's taken me a while to hear feedback the best that I can. So, I mean, give us your handles. Let us know how people can keep up with you. Let us know where people can follow you and so on, just to be sure, just to get that on the record. Yeah. Let's start with you, C. Don C.
Introduce myself.
Yeah, how do people allow me to reintroduce myself?
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Let's go.
Yo. So this is Don C, the one and only in the flesh, you know, not just playing. You know, I'm out here with my homies right here, Forbes 24K and our homie Fuego.
Shout out Forbes 24K on IG.
Yes, sir.
Link in the bio.
Link in the bio. DM's open. That's
Facts. Hey,
yeah. Shout out.
Follow me on the gram at Fuego. Follow me on the gram at Fuego, Fweago, not the other way.
That's right. That's right. 100% follow these cats, and I will definitely remain in convo with y'all. I'm definitely with you out through these streets, out through this city, trying to make a buck out of 15 cents, just like a great artist once said.
Yes, sir.
We continue in that struggle, continue in that footwork. And, man, it's been so much fun chopping it up with y'all. I can't wait for the next session with only more of the VVs.
Been a blessing, bro.
Yeah. And about more from the VVs.
Yes, sir.
100%.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot more, honestly. It's just a
work in progress.
Work in progress.
That's right.
Yeah, it's only the beginning, you know?
We got life hitting at the same time. Yeah. So,
bro.
Like everybody else.
I was supposed to drop a tape in, like, June, July. I don't know. I'm going to try to get it out before.
Just know there's music.
Hey, that's man, right, y'all can't press him about that album, because if he don't get pressed about it, he ain't dropping nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, when?
August 6th. I'm trying to drop it like probably on the 20th. I'm trying to go to Vegas for my birthday.
Real soon.
Man, you already know that Jimbo Times is ready at the call for that. Let's go. Let's go. First week of August, actually.
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's Let's go. First week of August next week, my G's. So 100%. Thank you once again. It's been such a pleasure. We'll be back here again in no time. Thank you all, my G's.
Thanks for joining me. Thank you for inviting us, bro. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, bro.
All right, everybody. That was JT, the LA Storyteller Podcast, in part two with the VVs. And I hope you enjoy the convo as much as I did. I'm really proud of these cats for doing their thing. And I think that you're super lucky to be tuning into this convo. So make sure that you hit that follow and subscribe button to keep up with Jimbo Times, as well as the VVs and everything else up ahead. What a pleasure. Enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yay.
It's Jimbo Times.